the phone this afternoon. It is a special day because it is the Buzz Lunch is Jericho. We got Chris Jericho, lead singer of Fozzy, pro wrestler, podcaster, television star, all-around good egg. How's it going, man?
It's always cool to be referred to as a good egg, man. I'm doing great. It's Chris Jericho Day here in Sheboygan. Awesome.
Yeah, I like it. Now, I got to say this. All the stuff you do, has there ever been anything you've tried that you wound up not being good at? I mean, it seems like everything you touch kind of turns to gold for you.
Sex. Just not good at the old sex thing. Haven't figured out the ladies yet.
Well,
you know what I mean?
That's such a tricky thing. I mean, you've got time.
Yeah, no, it's been good. My biggest thing is I just don't have any boundaries on myself or basically listen to what anybody else thinks. If there's something I feel that I can give it a try and do a good job at it or a decent job at it, I'll go for it. So whenever you kind of live that way without putting yourself in a box and without any kind of rules, it always seems to work out. So far, so good.
We'll start with the new album. Fozzy's new album, Do You Want to Start a War, coming out July the 22nd. How'd you wind up picking out the title for that?
It's a song that I wrote lyrically. Actually, I have a Green Day live record, and right before Holiday, Billy Joe yells out, Do You Want to Start a War? And people cheer, and they go into Holiday. And I just thought it was a really cool statement. And it could mean so many different things. And the song is not about starting a war with a missile and a tank. It's about starting a war with things that oppose you, starting a war with things that are dragging you down. You know, it's kind of a self-empowerment, believe in yourself type song. If something is bothering you, start a war with it and beat it and win that war. So it's a very anthemic type of a raise your hand in the air type of a song that has a lot of different meanings. So it was really interesting to me, and that's why I chose that song to write it, and we thought it would be a perfect album title as well.
Well, that's pretty deep, man. Is that kind of the...
Very deep.
Yes. Philosophical, I like it. Is that kind of the theme throughout the whole album?
Kind of. I mean, we've always kind of had lyrics that are about pushing yourself to be the best you can be, because it's kind of my motto. Like I said, if there's something that you want to try, go for it, and chances are you can make it happen. But, you know, there's, I do a lot of imagery and lyrics, interesting type of thoughts. Some relationship lyrics, and then of course there's always your standard fare heavy metal fantasy lyrics too, about witches and about demons and things on those lines. You can't have a good hard rock record where it's at least having a couple songs about witches and demons. I mean, come on, man. I did grow up with Ronnie James Dio as one of my heroes, so you gotta write songs about that too.
Oh, of course. I mean, that goes without saying.
The requisite.
No, totally. Now, from kind of the business standpoint, let's see, how do I phrase this right? Motley Crue has kind of said they've gotten out of the business of albums. They're only going to be pushing singles. Aerosmith's kind of said the same thing. Is that kind of the direction you think music is going? Is the full album dead or still alive?
I think it's very much still alive. I mean, I think there's different ways. I mean, we're kind of in the middle of a transition phase right now, one foot in the past and one foot in the future. And I think 5 or 10 years from now, there will be a different way to get music. You already see that with Spotify, never mind iTunes, but Spotify and, all those type of new systems, iTunes, where you can go and just listen to music, Pandora, and put it on shuffle. But I think as long as there's people who like the concept of what an album is, and maybe sooner or later people will grow out of that and just want to hear singles. But I know as long as I'm alive, I still like the concept of an album, of that storytelling, taking you from the first song to the last song and taking you on a journey. And it's great just to have a single, but it's not enough. You know, if you're a real, true music fan, I like the whole journey and the whole concept of what an album is. Now, maybe if you're in Motley Crue, when I guess maybe a lot of people don't buy new Crue albums or new Crue material, I'd buy every one of them. I bought Saints of Los Angeles the day it came out, but you know, it's a different generation. So maybe some bands will just do singles, but I think that if you're, a true music fan, you like that journey of point A to point B. And I'm sure M Shadows of Avenged Sevenfold agrees with me. That's probably the biggest band in the country right now for a certain generation. So maybe some bands will just do singles. I think a lot of top 40 bands will just do that. Or top 40 artists will just do that. But I think rock bands will always enjoy the concept of a record, unless you're kind of in your twilight years where maybe people don't want to hear your new material as much. But for a band like us, a new record is so important because it's how you expand your audience and take your music out to new fans.
Now, looking down the track listing for the album here, I see SOS. That you covered ABBA?
We did, yeah. And the thing about that song is you think, what? ABBA? But it's such a dark song. The chord changes, the chord progressions are almost depressing. The lyrics are depressing. It's got some great... There's a riff right before the chorus that's something that Yngwie Malmsteen could have written. And we were just listening to music on shuffle in the dressing room after a gig. I remember it was in Leipzig, Germany on the last tour, and that song came on shuffle. And I was like, wow, that song is just ripe for the picking to be covered by a heavier band, by a hard rock band, by a metal band. And I Googled it, and I couldn't believe that nobody had ever covered it before. And it's the exact reason why it's the perfect song to do. And when you hear it, it's going to blow you away, man, because it's a song that everybody knows. But when you hear our version of it, the heavy and the driving, it sounds like something that Sabbath could have written or something along those lines. So it's a really, really cool tune. I think it's going to be one of the centerpieces of the record.
All right. I look forward to checking that out. Once again, do you want to start a war that's coming out July the 22nd? Now, you guys have been kind of lightly on the road as far as tour dates so far. Luckily, one of the dates on your website says you are coming to Wisconsin September the 13th. There are going to be more tour dates coming in the near future here?
Yeah, we were out the whole month of May because our first single from Do You Want to Start a War called Lights Go Out came out, and doing great on the radio and doing great, speeding up the charts. It's our highest charted single that we've done so far. So we went out in May to kind of support that. We did a bunch of festivals in the States and did some touring with Buck Cherry. Then we went over to the UK to do Download, which is the biggest festival in Europe every summer. And now we're just getting ready for the record. A lot of press, a lot of promotion. We're filming a video. We're doing a show at the Whiskey A Go-Go in Hollywood kind of to kick off the tour. Then there's some spot shows, like you said, and then we're probably heading out in September in earnest to get it rolling. So we're excited, man. Like you said, we're excited to come to Wisconsin, and to come, you know, even more so to even more cities around where you're at, as soon as the tour starts in earnest, probably in September.
Yeah, and once again, September 13th in Janesville. You want to find out more about that, go to the concert calendar, 1065thebuzz.com. Now, you had mentioned playing the Download Festival. Again, this was,
third show at Download. Yeah, it was great, man. I mean, I kind of always rate the progress of the band, but where we're placed at Download. I think 5 years ago, we were like on one of the really small stages. 2 years ago, we were on the second stage, and then this year, we're on the main stage for the first time ever, which is amazing, playing in front of 40,000 people at noon, and they're all rocking and chanting Fozzy, and it's just a really cool vibe over there. And we got to see a lot of that in the States, too, with Rock in the Range and Carolina Rebellion, and I know we're doing the festival in Madison that you mentioned in Wisconsin that's going to be huge. So there's more and more festivals happening in the States, which is great for us because now you can go to Europe or you can stay in the States, and you're playing in front of thousands and thousands of people, and half of them know who you are and half of them have never heard of you, and that's how you make new fans, so... We're excited about it, man.
Now, it seems like the European festivals kind of have a more traditional, much bigger deal vibe to them than some of the festivals in the States. Why do you think that is?
Tradition. I think it's something that's been going on for years and years. I mean, Download used to be called Donington
right
back in the 80s. So it's something that's been around for a long, long time. And there's a lot of other festivals like it. Whereas the whole concept of a rock festival is basically just starting here in the States. I mean, Rock in the Range is almost as big as Download, and, you know, Carolina Rebellion, you're playing to 20,000-30,000 people, and, you know, 40,000 people, I think it was, at Rock in the Range, whereas Download will get 80,000 in its building. So I think the tradition of the and the concept of a rock festival, an annual one happening every year no matter what for a weekend, has been going on for years in Europe, and it's just starting to kind of resurface and happen here in the States, and I think you're going to see a lot more of those festivals upcoming over the next few years. So But I got a split, dude. I'm getting calls from the next station, and they're getting mad at me because I've ignored them like 3 times so far.
Gotcha. Well, now if people want to find out more, it's FozzyRock.com. Also, your podcast available on Podcast One. And I wouldn't be a wrestling nerd if I didn't ask, any future plans to get back in the ring anytime soon?
Not yet, man. I mean, it's all based around what Fozzy's schedule is at this point. So I'm sure at some point, if Fozzy's taking some time off and the WWE is agreeing to have me back, then I'll do so. So just have to wait and see. No plans either way. So I appreciate it, man. I thank you, and looking forward to July 22nd. Talk to you soon.